and welcome to JFG Tonight. End of the line, Joel says, JF, Academic Agent banned you for life because you interacted with Fed Keith Woods. Academic Agent is a childish clown. I saw this. The guy's name on Twitter is OG Roland Rat. And I knew I had seen some stuff of him, but I wasn't super aware that he was Academic Agent. I knew that Academic Agent has been creeping onto Twitter for years after being banned. And I knew that, I don't have anything against Academic Agent, but I saw this whole interaction where he says, anyone who is friends with Keith Woods, I will never talk to again in my life. So I immediately blocked him. Anytime you make a threat, even if the threat wasn't targeted to me, if you somehow indicate to me on Twitter that you're not happy with what I say, or that you are not happy with the friends I have, I'm immediately blocking you because it's my liberty. It's none of your business. I'm friends with Keith Woods, and there's not even a rational basis to say what he was saying there. This whole idea of, well, if you're friends with Keith Woods, I don't want to talk to you ever again. That is kind of it's a very Jewish response, honestly. A very Jewish response to the current state of things. I don't even know whether Academic Agent is Jewish, but it's like, oh, well, now you're pissed because Keith Woods has a popular angle on the news, and you want to avenge on anyone who associates with him. I'm sorry, Academic Agent, but it's like, I have some respect for the guy because he's been engaging, he's been exchanging with us. But it's like, you are that important in my life, Academic Agent. Keith Woods is that important for the whole world. So it's like, it's not even hard. If you're there asking me to choose between you and Keith Woods, you're a cockroach to me. You're a little cockroach asking me to choose between a top model Ukrainian female or the cockroach. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go with the Ukrainian female. I'm going to go with the 10 out of 10 supermodel. Desi Mac sends a super chat. He says, howdy, guy. Thank you so much for the support. So, yeah, I mean, today we are seeing the full genocide of the Palestinian. It's been going on at a slow rate forever. But we are seeing here the Israelis have basically hired the talking heads of the public space, the Jordan Petersons of this world. And they've hired them, you know, months ago. We started seeing a lot of political action, a lot of Benjamin Netanyahu trying to form alliances with the American media. And it's probably ultimately all of this was done with the intent of deploying what we're seeing being deployed right now. All of this has been planned. The Israelis were ready to hit, and now they have decided that they have found their excuse, that an attack by Hamas justifies bombing really 2 million people and committing a true genocide that's happening live in front of our eyes. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, why no more Rumble streaming? Well, first, because Odyssey is working well. And second, the technicals of hosting two streams at the same time, I don't really like it. And third, people stayed more here than they did transfer to Rumble. So I'm not saying no forever to Rumble streams, but I'm comfortable here. And as long as Odyssey is working for us, I'm happy with Odyssey. It's good to have the fallback of Rumble, though. So, yeah, we're talking about a real genocide where the typical things of genocide, killings, civilians targeting, civilian destruction, weapons of wars that are banned against civilian, being used against civilian, and this whole appeal to you have 24 hours to leave where you are. a request by the Israelis that is so unrealistic. The idea of moving millions of people from the north of Gaza within 24 hours in a situation where they are completely surrounded by Israel. It's not like it's a country of Europe where you could have many outs, many roads out, and people would have their means of transportation, and it would all go smoothly. We're talking about 24-hour evacuation of northern Gaza is so unrealistic that even the UN is saying that is impossible. The request of the Israelis has been characterized as impossible. So what do we find ourselves with? We find ourselves with an incomplete evacuation. We find ourselves with Israel just making these warnings, basically just to free themselves from the moral responsibility that they are currently bombing civilians. So they can say, oh, we told them to go. They stayed there. So they are woman shield. They are baby shields. That is why they're doing these warnings. They don't actually believe it saves lives. They don't actually want to save lives. At this point, they have convinced themselves, thanks to the rooting, the violent rooting of the pro-Israelis on social media, that the genocide was justified. And so we are in the process of a live 2023 genocide. And by the way, just pushing populations out of their living places is already genocidal. It's already a massive human rights violation. We already count much more deaths on the side of the Palestinians than we do on the side of the Israelis. And this will only ramp up as the count goes on and as the attacks go on. What we have is partial evacuation because some populations have decided to flee from northern Gaza. A part of the population stayed there. They will get bombed. They will get put up in fire. The parts of the population that are escaping, some of them are being targeted by raids. The Israeli are so much carpet bombing Gaza at this point that even the journalists from Reuters are getting bombed. They were thinking that they were at a safe standing place. Look at them receiving a shell from the Israeli side. Fuck, 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 what happened, what happened? This woman just lost her leg. Her leg got stripped to the bone by this shell.
What happened, what happened? What happened? What happened, what happened? What happened? What happened? I can't feel my legs.
I can't feel my legs.
I can't feel my legs.
Oh, fuck, oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck, oh, fuck, I can't feel my leg. I can't feel my leg. What happened?
I can't feel my legs. La 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 la.
All right. Well, you can't feel your legs. Now you know how it feels to be a Palestinian getting bombed by the Israelis. Atchesput says, "Is she an Israeli?" It's hard to say, you know, just from the accent like this, but it wouldn't be surprising, you know, but with an accent like this, it's like it could be an Arab, could be an Israeli. There's barely any distinction at this point other than which side they shoot toward. John Drake says, wouldn't be surprised if Putin uses this distraction to hurry up in Ukraine. That would be a strategically... clever thing to do. That would be something that we can expect, but I haven't seen any sign that he is preparing for this, but it could very well be, because I think that this whole story is putting Ukraine very much on the back burner, and I think there will be much less interest for American support toward Ukraine. even if the warmongers of this world, they ultimately see probably the whole thing here as being the same military project. The military project of Israeli dominance, of Israeli as an American / Jewish proxy for the leaders of this world. And ultimately, the Palestinians are in the axis of interest that ties Russia, Iran, and every country that the warmongers dislike. Ben Shapiro has been bringing up dead babies as an argument. Let's see what young Ben Shapiro thought about arguments around dead children.
So why am I off the rails, Mr. Shapiro?
You know, honestly, Pierce, you've kind of been a bully on this issue, because what you do, and I've seen it repeatedly on your show, I watch your show, and I've seen it repeatedly, what you tend to do is you tend to demonize people who differ from you politically by standing on the graves of the children of Sandy Hook, saying they don't seem to care enough about the dead kids. If they cared more about the dead kids, they would agree with you on policy. I think we can have a rational political conversation about balancing rights and risks and rewards of all of these different policies. But I don't think that what we need to do is demonize people on the other side as being unfeeling about what happened in Sandy Hook.
How dare you accuse me of standing on the graves of the children that died there? How dare you?
I've seen you do it repeatedly, Pierce.
Like I say, how dare you? So why?
So here, Ben Shapiro, at a time where he was armed with facts and logic, didn't like the idea of standing on the grave of children. But what has he been doing for the last few days? He's been doing only this. Isn't it fascinating? Harmless G sends a super chat. He says, thoughts on the recent interactions on Twitter /X between Richard Anania and Keith Woods? I haven't seen this interaction. You're going to have to put a put a link in the chat, in the regular chat, and I'll be happy to look at it. SSV has sent $10 through Entropy. Thank you so much. He says, bombing hospitals is justified. Ben Shapiro confirmed that many of the children being treated there are Hamas operatives, parentheses, anti-Semites, some of them as young as 6 months old. Imagine how evil you would have to become a terrorist before your first birthday. I believe that SSV here is doing sarcasm. But yeah, that is the situation we face ourselves with. We've been told by the pro-Israel side for many days now that there were decapitated babies demonstrating the absolute savagery of their enemy. But honestly, just today, I've seen more decapitated children on the side of the Palestinians being bombed than I've ever seen any decapitated children at all on the Israeli side. And at this point, if we go just by decapitated baby counts, Palestinians are winning. They have more of them than I've seen Israeli. I mean, there was this terrible scene. I can't show it on screen, but there was this terrible scene of a father carrying a child with his head completely blown up. There was just the spinal cord of the child left over and the body, but no head. So that's one more decapitated child that I've seen than the amount I've seen on the Israeli side. We also see that some of the Hamas operatives have been they are playing a social media game this time. You know, it's they've been filming themselves for long-term video for a long time, and these videos have been circulating among circles of extremists in the West, you know, Arab extremists who could be swayed by this kind of video. But for the first time, I see the Hamas side really going for live video and current event videos, because the Hamas side has published a video of their hostage holding of Israeli children. They're basically just there. They're cradling the children. They're hugging them, taking care of them. But they have their Hamas equipment. They are dressed as army guys. And they have their rifles and everything, but they take care of children between the ages of 1 and 5, and it's kind of endearing. I mean, I have to say it. It's it's a shocking image that penetrates the mind so much more than talking heads making claims about things they have never seen. Because here you get to see a human side of the Hamas side that was never presented to me before. It's like, okay, you have to integrate in your head that these guys are on a path of vengeance and violence. So be it. That's their thing. But they are capable of affection and demonstrating a level of parental care that is heartwarming at the same time. And that is a game that I'm sure the Israeli operatives hate to see this because it's an emotional game. But people will have these images imprinted in their mind. And they will have on the other side a very violent outburst from the Israeli side where when I see Israelis, I see these crazy women just crying and yelling on the streets and yelling at anyone who supports Palestine. Whereas when I look for the Palestinian side, I see a bunch of Hamas warriors, cradling Israeli children and taking care of them. It's quite shocking. Harmless has sent me the link to his Twitter convo that he was talking about. So it was an interaction with Richard Hanania. He was saying two things you might not know about online white nationalists. One, they really, really care about the human rights of non-white people. Two, they think historical conquest is the most unforgivable thing and should be reversed. They really, really care about the human rights of non-white people. Two, they think historical conquest is the most unforgivable thing and should be reversed, at least while Israeli is in the news. Okay, so Richard Hanania is trying to make this bizarre own onto white nationalist. I've seen this kind of argument come before, kind of Alze type of argument, kind of, oh, well, you Europeans have been dominating over America through genocide. Why don't you let us do our own genocide? whoa. It's a little bit, I think, what he's trying to bring here. So Keith Woods answers, when you wrote for white nationalist websites, your affinity with the ideology was not based on love or identity, but on an abstract supremacist belief about other groups, which you now assume motivates every other nationalist. The only difference between then and now is that you now include ordinary white people in your list of undesirable and you promote the more socially acceptable Jewish supremacy. Okay, that is an interesting comment by Keith. Indeed. There are some people who come to white nationalism from a wrong direction. You know, the Jews who are interested in white nationalism, honestly, they are mostly interested at kind of extracting the essence of white nationalism and applying it to Israeli supremacy of some sort. And yes, that is a problem because It's not at all why white identity is important, and it's not the right way to be drawn toward this movement. If you don't have a deep love for simply the European phenotype as a standing example of mankind that should survive and sustain and self-determine, then as far as I'm concerned, you're not a legitimate voice for white people, white identity, or white nationalism, or however you want to call it. He answers, the entire success of whites is based on them overcoming small-minded parochial concerns, which is why white nationalists who want to be like the third world are so alienated from their people and will always be so. Very bizarre, this guy. I had never paid attention to Richard Hanania. I saw that he was getting lots of traction on Twitter lately. He had always been this guy that I've never really been interested in what he had to say, but now that I read this kind of vicious, bizarre arguments of trying to psychoanalyze basically white nationalism and getting it wrong, he does strike me as someone that I was right not to care about up to today, you know? I learned by reading my first few words from Richard Anania that it was a good idea not to read them up to now. What a ridiculous set of arguments. Oh, the white nationalists, they want to be like the third world. So they are alienated from their own people. None of this addresses what a white nationalist is. So I don't know. Those are bad arguments. This is very poor thinking. Keith Wood says, neither my people nor the people of Gaza have to justify their existence to Richard Anania based off of whatever abstract metrics of success he has devised. Most white people would rightly be repulsed by your advocacy of ethnic cleansing. Yeah, that is absolutely correct. I mean, engaging with this guy, given what he writes and given that it makes no sense and it's all strawman positioning of white nationalism, I think it's not worth it. I think he's probably at this X special space of X where he provokes a lot of feelings in his readers because of his cognitive deficiencies, and he pisses a lot of people off, and that's how he makes money on X. I guess that's a business, but it's not a respectable intellectual endeavor. A speaker's corner says, Jeff, how much did you get paid by X today? I got paid $50. Isn't this amazing? I'm super happy with $50 because I pay $8 per month to be on X with a blue check mark. And if I was to only make the $8 back, I would be super happy. But I make $50 back, and it is a free flow of money that really doesn't require extra work, because anyways, I would be working on my Twitter account all the time. So it's something. Working on the Twitter account is worth it in and of itself, even without the money reward. So to get an extra $50, that is so appreciated. Thank you, Elon Musk. Alimer has sent $5. He says, have you heard how young the average age is in Gaza? Something like half the population is under 18 years old. How is that even possible? Well, yeah, I've heard, and that is true. How is that even possible? Well, it's the combination of a high birth rate culture with very centered around baby making, and the fact that there is lots of there's a lot of violence in Palestine, first and foremost by the aggression of the Israelis against them. And so yes, you find yourself with a society that's compressing toward the fast baby production lifestyle, high risk for old men because they have to defend the nation, they have to basically give their life to further protect their already existing babies. So that's what evolution predicts for any population, really. It's full exploitation of the female as a reproductive agent, and post-reproduction, the male, given that he's not totally necessary to the life of the child, can go out there and lead a fight or even fight with... I don't know how it works in Palestine. Are Palestinians perhaps exposed not only to Israeli violence, but to the own violence of their own neighborhood? I don't know how the neighborhoods work there, but in a war region, you can have threats coming to the adult male. You can have multiple threats coming from multiple directions. The feeling when Jews realize their alliance with other minorities won't be reciprocated. So here we have a Jewish student who somehow like many Jews, probably thought, hey, we've been so kind to minorities. Maybe they will side with us when it matters. And we will look at her video for analysis. But just before, Desi Mac had sent a video from Hamas when they first attack. Caution is warranted. Okay, so... Well, I'm not going to show a video of horrors and everything, so don't send me this kind of video. But thanks for the info for those people who would like to watch it. But I tend to show the least amount of war atrocities as necessary to make a case, you know, and that definitely qualifies as a war atrocity. So this Jewish student is crying because she realizes, oh my God, there's all these people who are really hostile to the actions of Israel here.
Alone! They want our people dead!
Well, you have to understand, lady, they want our people dead. Who's they? Does the woman that you're bombing right now want you dead? Why does she want you dead? Have you killed her father? Maybe you did. And so maybe from her perspective, you want her dead. From her perspective, you killed her father. And so they want us dead is a group phrasing that cannot possibly really capture reality.
They want us killed.
Is there tears on her cheeks? I don't see any. People are calling crocodile tears. Well, it's the whole manipulation tactic. It's been going on forever. Yeah, it sucks.
They want us dead. Please end it, please.
Please end it. You know, at this point, you know that she's talking more to the camera than this guy. This guy is not the director of Hamas operation. Like, please end it. This guy is a guy speaking freely, being relatively pro-Palestinian, I guess, and whatever there that is in the U.S., I guess. He's not going to stop it. He cannot stop the Hamas operatives that you've been pissing off with genocidal action for the last 20 years. Do you understand? Do you understand that it's not because he's carrying a Palestinian flag or somehow supporting the Palestinians? He can't do anything for you.
This isn't about what happened on the weekend. Why can't they just go up there?
Why can't they just go up there? I don't know if that was a reference to the Palestinians, but we've heard this increasingly in the last few days. Why not move? Why not go to Europe? Why don't they follow the directions of the Israelis as to what they have to abandon? And the problem is, I would like to invite you for a thought experiment. What if the Hamas had been sending a letter before their attack, saying, please leave the northern half of Israel. We're about to come and blow up your raves. You have 30 minutes to leave. That wouldn't have changed anything. And the fact is, you're not entitled to push another people from their place of living. That is a genocide in and of itself, and it's already starting a genocide to be asking the entire half of a nation to somehow move to wherever they want. But they're surrounded from the top. They're surrounded on the west because there's the sea. And then you're telling them in 24 hours, just move. Half of the country has to move to the other side. And as it turns out, the other side might very well be a place where they can die, where they can be even further targeted. It's not a legitimate military strategy to say something like this that is so unrealistic that even the UN has to come back and say, hey, that is not even possible. You're asking a massive movement of people of the kind that leads to all these genocidal stories, you know? Any genocidal story always has its walk in the desert, right? Walk in the desert, getting shot in the back and getting carried like cattle. All genocide stories have something like this. Because all genocide that happens is probably kind of a mix of circumstances that include the impossibility of that people to go live elsewhere. And what the Israelis are asking is something that they know is impossible. It's something that they know won't happen. And therefore, it's merely a moral display for the West to say, hey, we tried, we did something. But the equivalent being done by Russia, you know, when you saw how Russia was warning of strikes, Russia has never asked half of Ukraine or even a significant portion of Ukraine to move out of a given region. And when they warned about incoming strikes, first, their strikes were much more surgical. They were attacking military stuff. Some civilian casualties may have happened, but it didn't look like a single action of Russia was targeted and was knowingly just, we're just going to kill civilians for fun and destroy civilian houses for fun. Not a single act in the Ukraine war qualifies as such. The problem here is that what we're seeing with Israel is that they are carpet bombing civilian areas, and on top of it, they're lighting them up on unextinguishable fire, using white phosphorus, which is explicitly banned by all of the international agreements on chemical weapon and civilian casualty reduction. Paragliding sends a super chat. He says, I rarely have vivid dreams and never remember them, but I recently dreamt what felt like a premonition. The dream was long, but in this one part, I was watching a hockey game, and the camera zoomed to some people behind the glass holding some hockey fan sign. And it was you and Mama JF laughing. Okay, well, I can certainly assure you that I am not part of a conspiracy with Mama JF to fake her disappearance. That is certain, absolutely certain. But okay, yeah, I get that this is on people's mind. I get it. And the Jews just cannot understand what's happening with society right now. As they see that the evil of what Israel is doing is getting called out. But that was so predictable. But yet they act surprised. Look at James Herson, a Israeli supporter. What the devil has got into these people? He's reacting like this to the taking over of Times Square in New York City by pro-Palestine protesters, reportedly marching towards the Israeli consulate. The protest is taking place after Hamas chief Khaled Meshal called for a global day of jihad. By the way, this global day of jihad, I didn't see much happening. It was apparently today, and I guess it continues tonight into the night. I haven't seen particular amounts of Islamist violence. I don't know about you guys. Perhaps I missed some news item, but it doesn't sound like a day of extreme violence compared to any other day. What it looks like more is there has been organized protest, mostly peaceful. Yeah, DK Shadow says, Day of Jihad seems mostly peaceful. Yeah, that was my conclusion. That, yeah, it doesn't seem like, it seems like people are just deploring the genocidal actions of Israel, and they have bases of support across the West. Why? Because we've been importing everyone in the West. And so every single conflict will have its representation within our nations. And we have been importing so many Arabs and people sympathetic to the Arab cause that, of course, you're going to have the cities starting to be awakened to the bad behavior of Israel. That is what I would have expected. I would have expected this years ago. And I was telling Jewish people, why would you want so much immigration? Eventually, it's going to turn against you. And no, they weren't listening that much back then. The use of the word killed and died is so critical. And there's a meme that has emerged. Killed when it's an Israeli, died when it's a Palestinian. And it's unbelievable when you know the context and you know what these events have led to. The CNN post, the BBC post was saying more than 500 people have died in Gaza after Israel launched massive retaliatory airstrikes, according to Gaza's health ministry. Okay, so people have died in Gaza. They haven't been killed by the airstrike. They have died. There may be some connection, some indirect correlation with, they have died while being bombed, okay? Sometimes when you hear, did you hear the flying bombs? Did you hear the falling bombs? You know, Pink Floyd, when you hear the falling bombs, you are taken by an amount of stress that may cause increased, heightened physiological heartbeat, and maybe you die then, but you haven't been killed by the bomb. You've been killed by your own nervousness, okay? And then more than 700 people have been killed in Israel since... In the same tweet, they show their double standard. One side is killing the other. Another side just happens to be dying. Isn't that amazing? Suleiman Hamed has been doing some good pro-Palestinian coverage these days. Not that I fully enjoy this guy for various reasons, but I think that on the question of Gaza, he stands clearly against the Israeli genocide that is currently happening. And so he says, claim that Ben Shapiro has links to Israeli intelligence. Should he register as a foreign agent? This tweet has been quite popular. It's a guy who reports seeing himself, Ben Shapiro, receiving tasking from Israeli intelligence, connects to Netanyahu when he worked next to him at Breitbart.com. Listen, this is not surprising at all to me. When you see these guys having dinner with Benjamin Netanyahu, when you see Jordan Peterson in these circles and being invited to stage to talking about how Israel is the shining city on the hill, stuff like this, of course. These people will be extremely connected to Israeli intelligence and Israeli geopolitical interests. Not surprised, but it's good to know that it was happening. Meanwhile, there's a whole smear campaign in the mainstream media about me. White supremacist vlogger Jean-François Garrier-P's partner has been missing since June. A Daily Beast article by Kelly Whale, the very same person who smeared me back in 2017 or 18 or 19, I don't remember, but the very same person writes to me again and a couple of days ago, so I knew that this was coming, but I absolutely love the broken glass montage that they did. Oh my God, this is... absolutely luxurious. Here they put Mama Jeff. Mama Jeff has been split in three quarters. So the upper face of Mama Jeff is here. The lower face is here. The right side of her face is here. I have hidden the photos of Mama Jeff because I don't know that she consents to all of this. So the whole suggestion of this montage is, see the guy that's laughing here? Well, he looks at you seriously at first. Then he chops you into bits. Just chops your head in four different quarters. One quarter is sent to the other side of the planet. The other quarters are hidden somewhere in the forest. Look, he's also violent because as you try to express your fear, he pushes you back. There's a lot of hidden language in this montage. Oh, and by the way, he broke your cell phone, so you can never call your family to warn them of the murderer that you are. This is what this montage is saying, and all of this is ultimately a story deeply linked to the podcast world and these anti-woman extremists who chop women in pieces. That is what this this image tells us. Now, the article itself, and that's at this point, the journalists have understood that they have to lay out facts in the article. And so the article doesn't seem to point to me as having done much wrong. They talk about, oh yeah, social media people have been speculating that there was foul play. Okay, loose accusation. It's like, okay, you really have nothing against me, right? You have so little against me that this is all you can say, that some people on social media have said some things. But the media at this point doesn't care because they work with title and images. White supremacist vlogger JF partner has been missing since June. Murder mystery. Why is she missing? Well, it's probably because of her white supremacist vlogger boyfriend, right? So they don't care. No one is going to, they know at this point that no one's going to read the article. They're all going to assume from title and image. Well, Mama JF has been chopped into pieces. Her cell phone was broken violently. And here's her white supremacist boyfriend, pushing her back, which probably was a move that he was doing just before killing her. Same thing here with Newsweek. And I tweeted about it. I'm truly at the summum of my art. Newsweek titles with the picture of Mama JF. White supremacist wants more control over woman after girlfriend disappears. It's like they make it look like, oh yeah, so this guy was pissed against woman. He wanted to control woman, couldn't control Mama JF. So she disappears, probably killed by him. And now he's calling for more control on the public space. But of course, no normie that reads this headline, it crosses their mind to think, hey, maybe she left on her own. Maybe he's asking for more control over a woman because he thinks that they are making bad decisions for themselves. And maybe the white supremacist has nothing to do with this guy. Maybe the story is different. And yet, if you read their article, same thing. Mostly facts in the article, you know, properly told stories with, again, the same thing. Like, oh, there are people speculating. But nothing in this article frames me as a murderer, except little rumors that they mention. So again, we find ourselves with a title and an image that totally speak to a different story than the one that you could know by reading it. It's so sad what the media is doing. All right, so there are so many videos. Video of the massacre here. Gaza confirms multiple deaths. They are up to a count of 1,700. And I don't think most of it is even counted given the extent of the destruction in Gaza. Mehdi Hassan was saying Israel is dropping in less than a week what the U.S. was dropping in Afghanistan in a year, in a much smaller, much more densely populated area where mistakes are going to be magnified, said Mark Garlasco, a former UN war crimes investigator. No doubt that what is happening here is an absolute genocide and war crime. Oh yeah, and one thing I forgot to mention, they finally included my response to Newsweek. As I often thought here on this show, when they write hit pieces about you, you can't argue. You won't have time to argue. They will take your good arguments. They will present them poorly. So don't try to beat the facts and say, oh yeah, I will debunk you. When they ask for a quote in the media, you have basically one sentence. Because if you tell them 10 sentences, they're going to choose one of it. So you have only one sentence, and you have to think, what is the one sentence that most encompasses everything I have to say to these people and that totally messes up their narrative? Not in a way that at the factual level, not in a, oh yeah, here I will exonerate myself to the intelligent reader. How do I yell to the normies how stupid this whole thing is? In a short way, in a single sentence. So they included my sentence, which was as follows. I don't care what a bunch of low intelligence people think about my innocence. And even not having read the article, it's amazing how well it fits in the article. Because first it says to Newsweek themselves, you guys are a bunch of idiots. I don't care what you write about me and think about me. But it also very well addresses the fact that all they have against me is rumors on the social media. Rumors of, oh, people have speculated that. And so this sentence is the perfect answer to rumors. I don't care what you poor intelligence people think about it. Because you guys know nothing. Even if you knew something, you wouldn't be intelligent enough to perceive it properly. Tower of Bones sends a super chat. He says, JF, please tell me this exercise in public manipulation is the final chapter of the moral signal. I wouldn't solve the moral signal with a news event of any kind. I wouldn't solve what I want to be a book that will last for decades and that will be true forever. I wouldn't solve it with the everyday news or a single event that has happened in my life. But I would certainly learn a lot about double standards, about moral signaling that we're currently seeing. And I will certainly use the opportunity to call out with little jabs here and there when I can. Israel delays all-out assault on Gaza amid growing international pressure as civilians flee to south. Yeah, I had the impression that they were not going to truly follow up, and what Israel may be trying to do, maybe to seed some anarchy in Palestinian society. It's like, oh yeah, move out of there. We're going to carpet bomb it and then see who's left. See, is it worth carpet bombing, or show themselves as kind of, oh yeah, we will listen to the international community here. We will not carpet bomb what we said we would. Those are mind games, and they're also games of logistics, because when you put a society, a whole society, under a state of stress and thinking that a air raid will come and it's not coming, you still disrupted all of their logistics. You still made it very complicated for that society, and they have to resolve all the problems of how do we end all this movement of people. Armless says, in the country of Niger, half the population is under 16. In the Hasidic Jewish town of Kiryas Yoel, New York, half the population is under 14. High fertility rates for the win. Yes, that is what the evolutionary strategy, one evolutionary strategy is. Totally. And Inchfoot has sent $10. Thank you so much. He says, I have to tip a stream with a Pink Floyd reference and an academic agent bashing. Bravo, lad. Well played. Well, yeah, I work hard, you know, to be culturally informed and capable of delivering original thought and Pink Floyd references as they are needed. The scenes from across the Arab world are breathtaking. Here, this is in Iraq, what seems to be a peaceful protest of Arabs who have shown their disagreement with the actions of Israel here. The pressure on Israel is growing. I mean, when even CNN can't quite give a pro-Israel coverage, you know something is wrong. Some Gaza residents try to flee south after warning from Israel. So that's what they can say. I mean, they can't fully side the left. And people have been talking to me about this yesterday, how important what is happening is, because it's a true schism that is birthing within the left. It's always been there. We've been calling it out, us who are following the news and who have been commenting on this stuff. We've been saying this was coming. There is a huge contingent of pro-Arab, Muslim, anti-capitalist, far-left within the American left. And yet, it seems that the Israeli elite has decided to use the American left going forward as their main pro-war vehicle. This leads to enormous tensions within the left, because now we have basically two forces fighting for control of the left. We have the one that's more numerous, which is the pro-Muslim or just straight-out Muslim population, the basis of population that they're on the side of Democrats because they see the world from a leftist perspective. They are for the state, but they're not willing to follow the left on blind support toward Israel. And then you have the less numerous but more elite side that is very much pro-Israel and that will try to use the armed power of the American government to continue serving Israeli interest. The Israeli/Arab conflict is in full swing, coming into America and creating an internal schism in the Democrat Party. Knife-wielding man repeatedly stabs Israeli embassy worker in broad daylight in China. We have seen this attack, maybe, that was an illustration of this whole day of jihad. So even in China, acts of violence are appearing. We have a politician that has completely lost it here. And I love the comment of the Twitter account on this. 9mm says, "I just want a politician to be dispassionate about the U.S. Wouldn't it be great if any of our politicians could be dispassionate about the USA? Let's have a look at the video.
That's what it is. And the next time he tries to accost me with a child in my hand, I want him out of here.
What's happening?
He's an animal. I am holding a child. He is a fucking terrorist sympathizer.
Who?
We're going to look at the video.
Mr. Santos, who?
What happened? Tell us what happened.
Congressman Santos, who?
The gentleman back there is a terrorist sympathizer that has no business in this building. What is happening in Israel is abhorrent. What is happening to the people of Israel should not be defended. Nobody defending Hamas has any business in this building, whether you're elected, whether you're a civilian. It is a disgrace that we allow people to parade that kind of thought in here.
Oh my God. I don't know. He was mentioning holding a baby. And I've seen other images of him holding the baby. So it was offended that he was holding a baby and someone who was too pro-Palestinian for him came toward his direction. And then someone asked him if the baby was his. And I don't know if this is a meme, okay? I don't even know if this is serious. I don't know if this was a joke I've seen on Twitter. But on Twitter, they were saying he answered, "The baby is not mine yet." What kind of gay adoption, Palestinian geopolitical situation are we in here? What is this? Is it true that he said that, or is it just a Twitter rumor? I don't know. But what is the situation here? The baby is not mine yet. Well, the baby is alive, so he's either yours or he's not. Anyways. Well, this whole adoption thing is getting absolutely out of hands. This whole I'm hiring uteruses to produce babies. I made a lot of jokes about this and how it may free us for women. But the reality is the situation is getting serious. And Hassan is completely moved. Of course, you would expect Hassan Piker to side with the Palestinians here because he's part of this whole Arab sympathetic branch of humanity, you know. Let's hear what he has to say.
Sorry. This is really fucked up. They went to her funeral and beat the shit out of people and ripped the Palestinian flag off of her. Palestinians can't have a moment of peace in this fucking world. They can't even mourn the dead. Sorry. The IDF went in and beat the shit out of the Palestinians that were mourning her at her funeral, that were holding her casket, and ripped the Palestinian flag off of her casket. How?
Listen, in the end, he should continue doing whatever that is. People are saying it's acting. Whether it's acting or real, you should continue doing this. I'm sure there's a crowd of people who may be moved by tears. But listen, covering this, these horrors and, you know, the headless children I've seen today being bombed by the Israeli side and having their heads totally ripped from their body. It seems graver than what is being led here. Like, we're talking people getting beaten down and a flag being pulled out of a funeral. I get it. It's a disrespect of a funeral moment. But it does seem a little less grave than children getting their head just separated from their spinal cord by a bomb. But yeah, if you want to cover some of this stuff, you'll want to have a stomach a little more solid than this. People were presenting me this case of maybe a pro-Israeli side person who would have been censored on YouTube. YouTube has deleted a video of our channel of Senator Marco Rubio denouncing Hamas terrorists as savages for wanting to kill Jews. Team YouTube said that Rubio's comments against Hamas terrorists violate their hate speech policy. And people were presenting this to me and saying, "Oh, Jeff, you're outdated. The new YouTube is going to be totally pro-Palestinian." And it's like, I'll believe it when I see it. But I don't think a single act like this of a TOS violation indicates a major pro-Palestinian angle that YouTube intends to take. Let me tell you, the Jews have been very efficient at taking over American media. I don't I don't expect them to lose something as big as YouTube out of nowhere. Okay. I appreciate the kind of possibility, like, oh yeah, you could think that they are propaganda. I mean, it's the whole Brett Weinstein hypothesis, right? That there's a bunch of pro-Palestinian forces that have taken over our institutions. They have infiltrated the media. They've infiltrated YouTube. They've infiltrated big tech. And they're about to pull something onto the Jews that you've never seen before. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, make it happen and I'll believe it. I'll believe it the moment it happens. But that's a single video where the word savage has been used. And the word savage pointing to directly to people, and especially people based on ethnicity, has always been banned by YouTube. So I don't think it's illustrative of a full Palestinian stance here by the YouTube crew. Here, I'm looking at some pictures that I will not show on screen, but the Palestinians are holding a body of a kid without a head. They're carrying it across the street. Here I'm seeing another image I won't show, but the Reuters journalist's leg completely stripped from not just the skin part. You know, when you have a severe burn and you lose the skin part? The tibia is completely exposed down to the bone level. The muscles around the bone have been ripped off. The fat layer of the skin has been ripped off. She has literally her knee, her shoe, and she has a cleaned bone from her knee to her shoe without any form of tissue left above the bone. The tendons have been ripped off. The muscles is gone. Mass murderer Putin is such an asshole, says Mark Levin. Yeah, we see all these mainstream voices, of course, as part of this. I'll rooting, all drumming the drums of war, showing a lot of displays and bravado. It's very sad. It's very sad to see the bloodthirsty nature of humans just being reawakened after there was kind of a societal consensus around, we won't get into endless wars anymore. We won't get into Middle Eastern conflict. Under Trump, there was this consensus that was kind of slowly taking root in America, but we're back into it. We're back into exactly the kind of hate and invectives that can only lead to suffering and more harm to everyone. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. I will see you all tomorrow. For people who wanted to see links, I always publish the links to everything on my browser. You can click the HTML file in the description and you will get those links, but I don't necessarily retweet them because I tend not to retweet too much horror content because I want people who are headed toward my direction on the internet to be mostly interested at analysis and thoughts and it's uncomfortable when you go to an account where you expect to receive one thing and they just drop you images of highly shocking images. It's not my business. I totally respect the journalists who do that. I think it's important we have Twitter accounts that highlight these things. And sometimes I will retweet them when they are essential to understanding the current situation. But I don't retweet them just because they're horrible, you know. But if you want the links, they're always in the description in the HTML file. Bye-bye. Thank you.